Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
In Florida, my case is going to be very simple.
Newt Gingrich after South Carolina.
You have a clear establishment candidate in Mitt Romney. Look where his money comes from. Look at his background. Look what he did in Massachusetts. And you have somebody whose entire career has been a Reagan populist conservative going all the way back to the 1970s. I think that's a pretty clear contrast. And I think Floridians would like somebody who speaks for them to Washington, not somebody who speaks to the establishment to them.
Newt Gingrich yesterday on Meet the Press, Eleanor Clift, contributing editor for Newsweek and the Daily Beast, and you see her on the McLaughlin Group, joins us now. Welcome back to WNYC, Eleanor.
Good morning.
And you told us, do you remember, you said when you were on during the first Gingrich surge in Iowa, don't underestimate Newt Gingrich's cunning and his appeal and his resiliency. Then he fell back, and it appeared to be about over for him. And then this remarkable surge in the 5 days beginning with Monday night's debate from 10 points down to, what was it, an 18-point win? Did even you think it was over for him a week ago?
Well, if I made a good prediction, I'm going to hang on to that because I've made some pretty bad ones along this this election route. I still find it difficult to think that the Republican Party will, in the end, make Newt Gingrich their nominee. But I'm not so certain about that as I might have been, a week or two ago. And I think his surge is as much about Mitt Romney and the party's or the base of the party's resistance, really, to accepting Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney has everything, a beautiful family, a good record. He's got money and organization. It's like that old story about the dog food that had the great advertising agency, wonderful packaging, great music, but the dogs didn't like it. And the voters just don't want to accept Mitt Romney. So a lot of this is about anybody but Mitt Romney, and I think Gingrich appears to be the last one standing, but Rick Santorum is staying in the race on the assumption or on the hope that Gingrich could yet falter and the voters will look to him, and that's not entirely fanciful either.
So listeners in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut area, I wonder if Gingrich has a base here. I mean, one can say that this is a Jim DeMint, South Carolina primary. And so if Santorum won Iowa and Romney won New Hampshire and Gingrich wins South Carolina, that all kind of makes sense. If the primary season rolls on and it actually comes here to New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, just curious, folks, does Gingrich have a base here? So if you're a New York, New Jersey, or Connecticut Newt Gingrich supporter, give us a call and tell us why. Can you see him as president of the United States? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. For people who can hardly believe Gingrich would have appeal in this area, what's the appeal? You call and tell us if you are somebody who is chomping at the bit to vote for Newt Gingrich if the primaries continue to have meaning by the time they get to New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut later in the spring. 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Eleanor, one thing about the exit polls, they found that for two-thirds of the voters, the televised debates were important to their decision. And Gingrich trounced Romney more than 2-1 among those who cited the debates as important. So thank you, John King of CNN and Juan Williams of Fox News Channel, for asking the questions Gingrich got to pounce on the media for. Is it that simple?
I'm afraid it is. I think the voters are looking for somebody who can be really tough, and I think voters are not looking ahead necessarily to someone who could be president. They're looking forward to the debate, and they think that Newt Gingrich can trounce Barack Obama in the presidential debates, and that he could win based on that. And he's good entertainment. I have some friends of mine who are loyal Democrats who are saying, "Oh, I'm so much more interested in the process if it's going to be Newt Gingrich versus Obama versus Romney versus Obama." Nobody was really looking forward to the matchup.
Why? Just for the
boring,
sport of it, or because
not boring, not good television?
And because Gingrich, say what you will, is intellectually interesting.
He he's intellectually promiscuous. I mean, he goes all kinds of places. Sometimes he has good ideas. Sometimes they're totally outrageous. But he's not a walking soundbite. And Romney, you just feel, is so scripted and inauthentic. And with Gingrich, you get the feeling he is thinking on his feet, and he has the capability to think on his feet.
It does make me wonder, and they should ask him in the debate, what are the first things you would do as president of the United States? Because you've been so intellectually promiscuous, as you interestingly put it, you know, and what are the, other than repeal the Obama health reform, other than maybe repeal Dodd-Frank, I don't know if that's one of his positions, but that's the, what the Republicans tend to say, go out and repeal the Obama things.
Oh,
what are the first things you would what are the first things you would actually do?
Yeah, what are these big ideas? he's the only candidate who can think big enough for the moment. Now, I would agree. I think the ideas that are out there have been too timid for the challenges that we face as a country. But I think you're right. He has not been pinned down as to exactly what are these grand ideas that he has.
And on another topic, we'll need to hear from the president in the State of the Union address tomorrow. I hope a vision for a second term. What would the next 4 years be under Barack Obama? I realize it's not officially a campaign address, but he hasn't given us any indication of that. Jim in New Jersey, Gingrich supporter?
That's correct.
Thank you for calling in. What attracts you to Newt?
I like his background being in history.
Being
that's one of the big pluses that I find.
A historian, so you think he's grounded in important knowledge?
He's grounded in history, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he had a PhD in it, but he did teach it. I find that a lot of history teachers seem to do well. That other guy, O'Reilly, he taught history, too.
He did. I think in high school, though, right? I think at the high school level, if I'm not mistaken, about O'Reilly. Are you being serious?
Or? You have to have some background in college in order to teach it. No, I don't have a degree in history, but I've taken an awful lot of history courses.
What's the first thing you'd like Gingrich to do as president?
The first thing to do?
The or A?
I would like them to first become president.
Yeah. All right. That's a start. Jim, thank you. Let's try David on Staten Island. Hi, David.
Hi. I wish Gingrich were president. He's my first choice, but he has no chance whatsoever to win the Republican nomination. The South Carolina primary was an outlier due to the emotion over Gingrich rightfully trashing the media and the questioners. That's no way that Gingrich can win any future primaries. I'm quite sure that he won't win any of those in February or March, mm-hmm. and by the time Super Tuesday comes in March, he'll have absolutely nothing more than he has now. What? I say this sadly, but it's absolutely certain.
What do you like about him? What draws you to Gingrich?
Well, I like him because I believe that he will not compromise and will cut government and will cut Obamacare with more certainty and cut affirmative action with more certainty and appoint conservative judges with more certainty than would Romney or Santorum.
Thank you very much. So Eleanor Cleft from Newsweek and The Daily Beast, they have a Florida debate tonight, important again, no doubt, as the debates were important in South Carolina. And by the way, listeners, you can join me and others from our It's a Free Country Politics team in a live online chat during the debate, 9 o'clock tonight at itsafreecountry.org. We'll mention it a few times during the program because I think this will be a much-watched debate. It's a Brian Williams debate on NBC, and we will be having our live simultaneous chat on our politics website. I'll be there, others from our politics website. It's a Free Country. We'll be there tonight at 9 o'clock, itsafreecountry.org. But, Eleanor, what can Romney do to debate Gingrich more effectively?
Well, I just wanted to say the last caller did make some good points, because after Florida, you go into February, and there are really several weeks without any primaries, and then you have Michigan and Nevada with states where Romney should do well, and Maine, another state Romney should do well. So that caller could be right that this is a high point for the speaker. But what Romney has to do is to come across clearly with his message. I think what's really hurt him is the equivocating, especially on the tax returns. And I think now he's on the attack against Gingrich, and he doesn't look very appealing on when he's on the attack. So I think he should focus, if he wants to do well with the viewers, he should focus more on getting across who he is. I mean, I think, you know, he's that old line about an enigma wrapped in an enigma. I mean, who knows who the real Mitt Romney is? And so I think he's got to really clarify his persona more, and he's got to be expected that Newt will jump all over him on the charge that Romney is making on the stump today, that Newt is really a Washington insider and a lobbyist. So Romney is going to cast himself as the outsider versus the insider. I don't think either of them are very convincing outsiders, but I think the debate will probably fall along those lines.
A tough sell in both cases. You're right. Maybe what Romney needs to do is bring Chris Christie onto the stage with him at the debate. Let's play a clip of one of Romney's strongest surrogates, Governor Christie, on Meet the Press yesterday, and listen to how Christie goes after Newt. David Gregory tees him up.
Do you think Newt Gingrich will embarrass the party?
I think Newt Gingrich has embarrassed the party over time. Whether he'll do it again in the future, I don't know. But Governor Romney never has.
You say he's embarrassed the party. How and where do you worry he might do it again that makes him unelectable?
David, we all know the record. I mean, he was run out of the speakership by his own party. He was fined $300,000 for ethics violations. This is a guy who's had a very difficult political career at times, and that has been an embarrassment to the party. You remember these times. You were here. So the fact of the matter is, I don't need to regale the country with that entire list again, except to say this. I'm not saying he will do it again in the future, but sometimes past is prologue.
Christie on Meet the Press. Eleanor, will Romney say things like that out of his own mouth? Gingrich has embarrassed the party in the past, and past is prologue. He might do it again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awfully hard to say that when the person is standing right next to you on the stage. And the fact is, while
people seem to like when Gingrich does it.
Yeah, well, you could say that Gingrich is an embarrassment. He's also a conservative hero, really, because he brought the party to the majority, and I think people remember that. So whether these two candidates will have a dialogue against each other or whether Brian Williams, who will act as a buffer, we'll see. But I think Gingrich is much more effective at tourney against the media. But I think making the charge against Brian Williams, elite media, is not going to work as well because he's too nice a guy. And I just think that Gingrich is not going to be able to get away with that tonight.
By the way, were you cringing when John King, as a member of the media, as somebody who's covered politics for a long time and is interested in standards in the press, were you cringing when John King opened the debate on Thursday night with that question, regardless of what you think of Newt Gingrich?
Yeah, I think that was an appropriate question, but not for the first question right out of the box. And I think it turned out it was a perfect setup for Gingrich. And I think it made his victory in South Carolina because the hatred of the media among the more fervent members of the Republican base is very strong. And so they will forgive Gingrich just about everything if he takes a few good shots at the media.
I thought also John King asked the wrong question. What if he had waited a little into the debate, and Brian Williams, are you listening? If he had asked about Gingrich leading the impeachment of Bill Clinton for having an affair with a staffer, while Gingrich was also having an affair with a staffer and spending lots of tax dollars on this, maybe that's the way to bring it up.
Ooh, I like that. Of course, that's the charge of hypocrisy. And that's a very well-worn path in Washington.
And spending tax dollars to pursue your hypocrisy and distracting the entire country, you know, onto the impeachment of a president that turned out to be unpopular. That's really why Gingrich lost his speakership, isn't it?
He lost his speakership because impeachment didn't reward the Republicans at the ballot box. They actually lost seats in the 1998 midterm election. And so it was just a matter of months after that before Gingrich felt he had to step down.
Gabe in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi,
yes,
Gabe.
Hi, how are you? I just thank you very much for taking my call. I'm a registered Democrat, but I'm going to vote for Gingrich. I'm going to change my position. Switch to the Republican party. Gingrich has more visionary. He has courage. He doesn't afraid anybody. He says truth. is which is very more important. I think that his private life doesn't matter for the election, because his private life is a private life. But what he says,
what is it? When you say he's a visionary, what strikes you? He's a visionary in what direction, in your opinion? Something specific?
Improving the country's economy. During the Obama administration, U.S. lost, United States has lost his, reputation in abroad. I'm an immigrant. Right now, nobody respects the U.S. Even Iran, they love to U.S. Nice.
Gabe, where are you from? I'm just curious. Where are you from?
I came from the south of the former Soviet Union, close to Iran, Turkey. I speak the Iranian Turkish language. It's so, disgusting that, they talk about the United States so laughable because of Obama administration.
Gabe, thank you very much. I appreciate it a lot. Call us again. Bernie in Jersey City, you're on WNYC. Gingrich supporter?
Hey, good morning, Brian. Thank you for accepting my phone call. I am an independent. I used to be a Democrat, but I would love to see Gingrich go up against Obama.
Why?
It would be a great boxing match.
This is for the spectacle of it, or do you like Newt Gingrich?
I like Gingrich because he thinks outside the box.
Bernie, thank you very much.
And that is his appeal. And in this media age, he captures people's attention, whether you love him or hate him. He's fascinating to watch. And I also think that most people have no idea of his long history. He's been in he was first elected to Congress, I think, in 78. So he's been in Washington a long time, and he has a record of very erratic leadership.
Eleanor Cliff, contributing editor to Newsweek and the Daily Beast. In your opinion, is Newt race-baiting Obama in a way that John McCain and Mitt Romney never have, Boehner and McConnell never have, as Obama's usual Republican adversaries? Here's one clip that doesn't mention race.
He draws his from Saul Alinsky, radical left-wingers, and people who don't like the classical America.
When he says Obama doesn't like classical America, what is classical America? When he talks to white Republican audiences about food stamps dependency and Obama as a food stamps president, not everybody likes me asking this this question, because obviously all would prefer jobs growth to more people on food stamps. But is it code, in your opinion, in a different way than an Obama adversary has used before on the national stage?
Yeah, he's very skilled at using language that speaks to a portion of the Republican base. It has a history that goes back to Richard Nixon and the Southern strategy. And it plays on the grievances that people feel, and that I think, white people feel that somehow things have been taken away from them and given to people who don't deserve it, hence the food stamp reference. Gingrich really does tap into that anxiety, and in some cases it's a legitimate anxiety, but he does it in a way that I think that is really very harmful.
One last thing. Since I know you're a New Yorker, Governor Christie, with one more agenda item on Meet the Press, the Super Bowl-bound New York Giants should change their name to New Jersey.
The only thing New York about the Giants is the NY on the helmet. They train in New Jersey, they play in New Jersey, and most of their players live in New Jersey. And so the New Jersey Giants are going to have a great game today. Sorry to my friends in San Francisco. It's going to be a big win for the Giants today and on to the Super Bowl in Indianapolis.
All right. So as the New Jersey Nets move to Brooklyn, Eleanor Cliff, give me your best Queens-born, if I'm not mistaken, political analysis.
Brooklyn-born, Queens growing up.
How possible is this name change?
New Jersey has been trying to get credibility for so long, but I don't see that name change happening. I do see the change happening in favor of Brooklyn, though. Maybe that's my own bias.
Christie's problem is that New York is still a global brand, and when they want to sell, jerseys and caps and everything like that, they're probably going to hang on to New York for as long as they can. unfortunately, because
exactly.
They do play in New Jersey. All right, Eleanor Cliff, contributing editor to Newsweek and The Daily Beast, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More in a minute with Dante Chinney from Patchwork Nation. And again, don't forget, tonight at 9 o'clock, join me and others from our politics team in a simultaneous online chat as the candidates debate again in Florida on NBC with Brian Williams. Join us at 9 o'clock. It's freecountry.org, our politics website.